Applause for the praise team. Hallelujah. All right, today we're going to have all the young people and all of our children are staying in the sanctuary today. I come this morning saying to you grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you here this morning into the house of the Lord. For all of our regular attenders, you may have noticed that we had about half of our praise team up here. It looks like they made up the difference. Amen. And what a great day it is to be here. If you have your Bibles, please turn in the Word of God to Joshua. Joshua chapter 14. It's the sixth book in the Word of God. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua 15. And we're going to be picking it up in verses 6 through 10. All over the sanctuary. If you have the Word of God, whether printed or in digital format, please hold your Bibles up in the air over your head here. It can be digital or printed. Amen. But let's try that one more time. Bibles in the air. If it's digital, put the face toward me. All right. There you go. All right. I was just making sure my grandsons over here weren't playing solitaire or something. So, amen. So we are so pleased to be here this morning. Last week, I have a little bit of a hum up here. GB, right behind me up here. Last week we did the first part of this message, and some of you were starting to look a little panic-stricken when I had been preaching for 40 minutes and I'd only gotten through the first 2 points. But today we will finish up the last 2 points of today's message. And today's message is all about conceding things to the Lord and what that means in our lives. If you have your Bibles and you're open to chapter 14, verses 6 through 12, please say, amen.
Amen.
Reading from the Word of God. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance, and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Master's down. We could all have a round of applause for DJ. Just so everyone knows, at the end of the service today, we're going to lay hands on DJ. He is a police officer. As you guys know, he served in North Miami. And he will actually be serving in the streets of North Miami starting next Sunday, I believe. So we're going to lay hands upon that young man. What verse was I at, guys?
17. 10.
And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, and I love these words that Caleb speaks, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Remaining there, let's read the next two verses ourselves. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. May the Lord add His blessings upon His Word. Last week we covered the first two points of the message, and the first one was all about the personal character of Caleb. Caleb stood for the Lord no matter what. He stood for the Lord. It didn't matter to him what was going on. It didn't matter what other people said. He had that personal character that he stood strong for the Lord. Amen? It is so difficult, it seems these days, or it appears to be difficult, or people simply don't do it, to stand for the Lord publicly. And so, as I stand here today, I would like to admonish you, I'd like to remind you that wherever you are in your life, wherever you're serving, whatever part of your life you're going through right now, what you need to do is have the personal character that who you are when you come to church to worship the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is who you are in the world. There should not be a church Larry and a worldly Larry. My family can tell you that I am a knucklehead here and there. We had such a great time this weekend. They came in town. They thought to celebrate my birthday on Thursday, but I turned it into a weekend extravaganza. And we just had a wonderful time. We went out into the Everglades, and we hung up by the house, and we watched movies. And last night we went to a baseball game. We just had a wonderful, great time. And so it's been a blessing to me as my daughter and her three sons, and our new daughter in the family, Ruby over there, is visiting us. And I promised I wouldn't call her out, but you guys know me. So we just had a wonderful time. Just a blessing to be together. But be the same person you are in the Lord everywhere. Now listen, you don't have to be that holy moly, self-righteous, holier-than-thou person in the world. You simply need to stand for Jesus Christ when the time comes to stand for Christ. Okay? Don't let people beat you down on who you are. Don't let people make you back you off. Okay? And therefore, because Caleb had personal character and he trusted the character of God, Caleb, therefore, had public confidence. He wasn't the kind of guy that went into the streets and said, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. That's not what he was. As our students and our children can tell you, from the time they were this big, Pastor Larry has taught them to pray boldly, to read the Word of God boldly, and to sing boldly when they come into the sanctuary, to sing praises to a holy God. I asked my family this morning, and I also spoke with the prayer team, and I said, if people can hear me singing, you are not singing loud enough. And how many of us here like to make a joyful noise unto the Lord? Hallelujah. And so if you don't like the way I sing, you just need to sing a lot louder. Amen? And so you need to have that public confidence. The Lord knows what kind of voice you have, but He also knows your heart. Amen? Amen? And if your heart is fully and wholly committed to the Lord, it doesn't matter what your voice sounds like. It doesn't matter what you look like. What you need to do is have that confidence that the Lord is trustworthy. Amen? We learned last week, as we read from Numbers chapter 23, that the Lord is not man, that He should not keep His word, or that He should lie. You can have confidence that what God says He will do, God will do. And now we come to the next point today, and what I want you to notice, what I want you to see as we're going through our points, write this down in your notes. Please notice Caleb's profound courage. His profound courage. Friends, you will never be bold for the Lord. You will never have great courage for the Lord. You will never have a pure heart for the Lord, unless you have hidden the truth of the Word of God in your heart. You see, we get our courage from the Word of God because of God's promises in our lives. Amen? How do I know things are to be what they are to be? Because God has said it in His Word. And here at Living Hope Baptist Church, you may notice, if you're visiting, that everyone has a Bible in their hands or in their laps, whether it's digital or printed. We admonish you to do that. We admonish you to do it here. We admonish you to do that when you are visiting other churches. Have your Bible open in your lap, if for no other reason than to keep an eye on that preacher. And if you are a Christian and you hear the preacher preaching something that doesn't seem to line up with the Word of God, you need to talk to him about that. Because the same Lord that saved me, the same Lord that gives me the instructions on what to teach you, that Holy Spirit of God is the same Holy Spirit that inhabits your heart. And He will let you know when truth is not being spoken. And so you need to have courage in your life, and you get that courage from the promises of God, and you know the promises of God because you know the Word of God. This does not contain the Word of God. This does not have parts of the Word of God. This is the Word of God. It is completely perfect. It is inerrant. It is correct in all of its ways. And any mistakes you may find there, or people think they may have find, are simply because they have cherry-picked a verse, and they have not read it in context, and they have not looked at it in the totality of what the Word of God has said. Amen? We can trust the Word of God. You should read your Bibles every day. Did you know if you read your Bible 15 minutes a day, even if you are a slightly below average reader, you can get through the Bible in a year? Now, I know that there's some places in the Bible when you're reading through that it's like a long hill is coming up. Like when you get to 1 Chronicles. All right? It's like the Jewish Hebrew phone book. For about 8 chapters, you see that long hill coming. Or the book of Numbers. Who loves the book of Numbers? Amen? Or the book of Leviticus. Sometimes you read the book of Leviticus, and as you get through all the chapters, you go, I just read that. But it is the Word of God. And everything there is valuable. For so many years, as I read through the Word of God, 1 Chronicles was my hill that I was coming to. I saw it coming, and I saw all these names coming. And then I said to myself, the Lord has written in His Word that His Word will never come back void. That tells me that every jot and tittle is valuable. That everything in here is there for a reason. So I embarked on a study of about 3 years to see what all of those names meant. Oh. That's what it means. Why is he acting like a knucklehead? Well, his name means idiot. Why does he not walk with the Lord? Because his name means far from God. Why was Elijah such a mighty man of God? Because his name, El-E-Yah, means Elohim, E, Yahweh. In other words, El, Elohim, means the Lord or Lords. E is me or my or mine. Yahweh is the Lord God. Jehovah. What does Elijah's name mean? My God is Jehovah. And so I ask today, can you stand and declare that same truth? When somebody asks you, who is it that you serve? Who is it that you worship? Can you stand there and say, my God is Jehovah. My God is the Lord God. He's the Lord of heavens and earth. He is the mighty God. He is El Shaddai, the Almighty. And so we need to hide the truth of the Word of God away in our heart. Only then will you have the kind of courage that God wants you to have. You see, you can't stand in your own word. You must stand in the Word of God. You see, before Caleb could take that mountain that God had promised him, Caleb needed courage. Now, Hebron was the richest place of all. It's the same place that Caleb and the spies went and came out with a bunch of grapes. One bunch of grapes on a pole that it took 2 men to carry. Man, doesn't that sound like a great bunch of grapes? Now, I imagine in my mind it was those grapes that were just full and crisp and sweet. It wasn't no mushy grape. It wasn't no dried up grape. Some people call them raisins. It was grapes. Lush. Full. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey, corn and wine, grapes and figs and pomegranates. It was a rich land, but there were adversaries. There were problems associated with that land. And friends, listen to me for just a moment. If you want to do great and mighty things, you are going to have adversaries. You are going to have naysayers in your life. But I can tell you this, if you want to do great and mighty things, it's not going to happen from your rocking chair. It's not going to happen from the kitchen table. It will only happen when you take up the Lord's shield and the Lord's banner. When you take up His Word and boldly go into battle for the Lord, saying, "Thus saith the Lord." It's not what I said. It's not what Brister said. It is what the Word of God has said. Only then will you have that courage that you need. And Caleb could take that mountain because that God had promised. Caleb could take that because he trusted in the Word of God. There are simply no easy and cheap victories, friends. People want the easy, cheap victory. That's the problem with our generation these days. Of course, I am not talking about my grandchildren. But the generation these days has turned into the app generation. The instant gratification generation. They want it, they click it, they think they should have it. And that's not how things happen. You need to have courage that the Lord your God is going to do what He said He is going to do. But you need to go into battle armed with the truth of the Word of God. There are no easy, cheap victories, as I've said. And as you go through life, like Caleb, you will have adversaries. You will have difficult moments. You will have tough times. But they can be overcome. As it's written in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, write that down in your notes. What is the Word of God saying in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6? "Not by might, not by power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." You see, it's not me, but the Lord. It's not what I have said. It's the truth of the Word of God. And there is a way to overcome life's difficulties, and it's through the Spirit of the Lord. To put it in old folks' terms, for some of you young folks today, you need to get a hold of some Holy Ghost power. Amen. We don't hear that word too often in church anymore. So let's look at some of the things that Caleb had to overcome. First, he had to overcome some little things. Look at verses 7 and 8 in our text today. "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." You see, Caleb remembers back 45 years ago when he first went in to spy out the land. And what is he saying? He says, "I came back on fire for what God had promised. I came back just energized by what I had seen. I came back excited. I wanted to be part of God's plan." In other words, Caleb personally trusted in God. He personally trusted God's promised victory. He had followed the Lord with all of his heart. He was convinced that God would give power to the people to conquer that land, no matter what the adversaries were. There was no question in his mind at all. He trusted. He had faith in God. He didn't have faith in government. He didn't have faith in Moses or Joshua or any of those people. He didn't have faith in his friends. He didn't even have faith in his family. He had faith and he trusted God. Verse 8, if you looked at that, "But his buddies that were with him, the naysayers," in other words, he says, those guys I was with, they shared with the people and made everybody's hearts melt. They discouraged the people. Have you ever noticed how easy it is for someone to just discourage a church? When the pastor or the leadership team is vision casting, and the church has that one person goes, "Yeah, but..." Yeah. People can discourage other people. Have you ever gone church visiting, and you're used to Living Hope? People don't care how you sing here. They simply want you to sing. Amen? And when we sing, we're fine if you raise your hands. We're fine if you move your feet. But we're Baptists. You can do one or the other. You can't be moving hips and hands and feet all at the same time. Just joking, guys. But listen, we want you to worship God. But have you ever gone to a church where you're standing and you raise your hand to praise God because God is good? Not because that church is good, not because the praise team is good, but because God is good. And you raise your hands and you want to share with somebody and you go to look at the person next to you. Right there, I know I got some old fuddy-duddy legalist right next to me. And there's nothing that you can do with anybody like that except sing louder.
Hug them. Well, that'll break them out. What a blessing you are to be here today. They can't wait for you to leave. That's okay, though. You see, what does the Bible say? Trust in the Lord with all your might and all your power. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. That's in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Now, okay, church, here's what melted hearts means. The guys he was with, some of God's people came back from that trip and made God's people fearful. Made God's people afraid of what they saw as giants. In other words, they were too small. Some people say, well, they had a small view of themselves. No, they had a small view of God. They had a small view of what God could do. They thought that they were little things. They thought they could not. They could not see themselves as being significant in the plans of God. It's what we like to call the grasshopper complex. There's a world of giants out there, and I'm just a grasshopper. There may be some of you like that here today, friends. You may be watching on the internet. You may be listening to a DVD or CD or watching this at home somewhere. And you may be like that. You're thinking, preacher, you don't know my problems. You're out of it. You're irrelevant. You don't really understand what's going on here. Asking me to give everything to the Lord. Trying to make me into some kind of religious fanatic. Pastor, preacher, I have huge problems. I got real problems. I came here to be lifted up today. So just feed me. Let me sing. Let me hear a little bit of God's word. And let me go on my way and leave me alone. So I can go home and come up with a sensible plan for my life. Dr. Tony Evans tells a story. A great man of God. He tells a story of him when Priscilla was a little girl. Him and his wife and his daughter and the son. And they went on vacation. They went to Vegas to see the Grand Canyon and all that other stuff. But apparently, the great Dr. Evans, that brilliant mind, that immaculate scholar of the Word of God, had forgot to make a hotel reservation. And so they got there and they had no room. And so the consigliere said, well, we're sorry, sir, you have no room. He says, but maybe somebody won't check in. So he's all grumpy now. So they walk across. You know how those nice fancy hotels have those big lobbies? He walked across the lobby and they're sitting over in a little waiting area. And he's trying to figure out what they're going to do. Well, maybe we can do this. Or maybe we can do that. And Priscilla says, well, Daddy, you said when we have problems, we should pray about it. And Dr. Evans goes, listen, I'm trying to think of something practical here. Can you imagine Dr. Evans saying that? He told this story, not me. He told his story. Well, Daddy, you said prayer would work. And he looked over and his wife was looking at him. He said, okay, let's pray. Let's go ahead and get this over with. And so Priscilla prayed with all her little heart. She's probably the age of Alana at that time. And she prayed for a room. She prayed for a beautiful room. And she said, amen. And the man from the front desk come walking over. And he said, Dr. Evans. Dr. Evans said, yes. He goes, listen, we had somebody just drop out. Now, it's the penthouse, but we want you to understand that since they dropped out and you're just looking for a room, we're going to give you that penthouse just for the regular rate. And a matter of fact, the penthouse comes with a lot of services. Well, these men over here are going to come take your bags and go ahead and take them up the room while we get you checked in. And he walked away. And Dr. Evans said he stood here and his family's back over here and went, not a word. Not a word. Friends, trust in the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Your problems are nothing to an almighty God. He is not worried about it in the least. Church, Living Hope, did you know that before a church can do great things, it has to overcome the small things? It has to overcome those small things. We've been praying for a new location. Amen? We've been giving money to a new location. And this past week, I'm winding down my service as a president of the executive committee for the Gulfstream Baptist Association. And at the, I wanted to save this till this morning to share this with the church. Dr. Minshew, who preached here a couple of weeks ago, he said, he goes, Pastor Larry, he said, your church is vibrant. They're on fire for the Lord. Your praise team sings incredibly well with the two, and you had the Hispanic and the Anglo cultures together, and the church was full. And you ordained preachers, and you ordained deacons, and you had new memberships, and you baptized people. He said, it was exciting there. He goes, hey, I can only imagine you had trouble growing. He says, let me ask you, is your heart tied to that room where you're at? And I went, good Lord, no. We are doing everything in our power to get out of here. He says, well, I think we have some options. So he's going to get some other pastors from other churches involved to help us out. Amen? Isn't that great news? You know, we have an awesome God. Amen? We have a mighty God. And the Lord, we just need to grab a hold of the Lord and realize Him, that. Realize that we have a mighty God. You see, we may think that we are small. We are not. We may think we have giant problems. Those problems do not matter whatsoever. And I'm going to show you that in a moment. So don't be one of those folks that even feels in your heart, oh, we can't do that. No, let me share something with you. We cannot. God can. God can do all these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise in His house. So Caleb goes, yes, God can, to those guys that said we can't overcome that land. He had to overcome some big things. Look at verse 12 one more time. If you're there, please say amen. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Now what are Anakim? What does that word Anakim mean? That word means giants. There were giants in the land in those days. Listen closely. Everybody look up here. I want your attention. Get ready to watch the screens. Everybody with me now? They didn't matter. Look on our screen. Numbers chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. Reading this. This is what they said back those years ago. It says, if the Lord delights in us, this is Caleb's own words, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people in the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Do you get that? Do you see what that says there? Look at verse 9 as we leave that up there. Right in the middle it says, they are our bread. B-R-E-A-D. Caleb is saying we're going to eat them alive. Bring those giants on. We don't care. Serve them up. Not because of us, not because of my might, but by the power of the living God. Amen? They have no defense because the Lord is with us. So don't fear them. You know what bread is, guys? Bread is something that you eat to strengthen you, to bulk you up, to enlarge you. How many of us over 40 have to avoid bread? It enlarges us. Caleb's saying these giants will not be the cause of our defeat. They will be the means of our growth. You see, when you go through tough times, the Lord strengthens your heart. The Lord builds your character. He builds your resolve. He builds your courage. So don't avoid the problems. Christians, don't be afraid of your problems. Don't be afraid of the Anakim. Don't be afraid of the giants in your lives. Don't you know that those problems are the very things that God will use to strengthen you? The thing that you thought was a problem is a blessing from God. God is saying, Larry needs strengthening in this area. So let me put a problem in that area. Something for him to address. Something for him to use. Something for him to grow strong in. You don't grow strong by addressing the little things. They are bread. Sit down. Gobble them up. Look at the screen one more time. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. It says, what has the Lord said? That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Read that again. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness, Living Hope Church, your righteousness, the Lord says, is from me, the Lord your God, says the Lord. And all God's people said,
amen.
Isn't that good? Turn your difficulties into opportunities. The difference, listen, you know, we've all heard the difference between a pessimist and an optimist. Amen? The difference between a pessimist and an optimist is that the pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity. But the optimist sees opportunity in every difficulty. Use what the Lord has put in your life as troubles. That is the secret. Start seeing things not from your point of view, but from God's point of view. You see, that giant that we look up to just seems insurmountable. That problem, that giant. But to Almighty God, looking down from outside the heavens, He's nothing. It's not a problem at all. And I know you folks so well. I know the issues in your lives. We've prayed over them. We remain in prayer over them. That problem that you think you have, the Lord has already got an answer for it. He's already got an answer for it. So be of good cheer. Don't be like the mouse that sees a cat. Look how small I am. Look how huge that cat is. Look at it from God's perspective. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You serve a mighty God. Friends, there is not a giant, little play on words there, of a doubt. There is not a giant of distress. There is not a giant of fear. There is not a giant of sinfulness in our lives. There is no problem that we have that will not fall before the Christian filled with the Holy Spirit of God that stands and declares, He is my Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't know who your shepherd is, but the Lord is my shepherd. He shall cause me to lay down in green shepherds. What else? Who is like my Lord? There is nobody like my Lord. Friends, I can face my day because I have a big God. I have His promises. And there's no enemy that can stand up to the army of the Lord. And guess what? You are members of the army of the Lord. You are His soldiers. And He is your strong shield. Trust in the Lord. Give Him glory and praise. Caleb had character. He totally followed the Lord. Because he had character, he had confidence. He believed the Lord. Because the Lord had given him a promise. And that confidence gave him courage. Courage not only to overcome the small things and the large things, but the courage to overcome the old things. Look at verse 10 again. Look at verse 10. If you dare say amen. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years. So Caleb is 85 years old. God has supernaturally preserved him. In other words, the God that preserved the possession for the man until he got there, preserved the man for that possession. Did you get that? I thought I'd get a testimony. I'm glad I brought my own. The God that preserved the possession for the man preserved that man, that old man, for that possession. Because Caleb was still strong in those days. His strength did not wane. You see, God works on both ends of our lives. Some of you think that you're too old for God to use you. Some of you young people think that some of us are too old for God to use. That we've passed that point of usefulness in our lives. Listen, I'm 65 years young. Moses and Joshua both, the Lord didn't put them in charge. He didn't use them in mighty ways until they were 80. I'm just a trainee. I'm just the young whippersnapper. I love that. I act that way too sometimes. Listen, God will give us the strength to do His will, just like He did that for Caleb. Amen? He gives us the courage. Final point. Caleb's perpetual conquest. We see Caleb's perpetual conquest. Look at verse 13. If you're there, please say amen. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Do you know what the name Hebron means? Hebron. It means fellowship or association. Pay close attention now. I know we're getting toward the end of the message. Don't let me lose you here. It means fellowship. It means association. Caleb is saying, I want that mountain called fellowship with God. I want to be associated with God. Now, how great is that? Now, do you know that he took that whole mountain? He took that whole mountain. Do you know what that stands for? That stands for fullness. That stands for completeness. In other words, all that God had for him, Caleb took possession of. See, that's what I want to do. I want to grab all of what God has planned for me. And you know what Hebron was noted for, that mountain? The fruit on it. The fruitfulness of the trees. The fruitfulness of the vegetation there. Caleb was saying, listen, Lord, I want to live in a mountain of fellowship with you. I want to be full. I want to live a life of fullness. I want to live a life of fruitfulness. I want to be a blessing to other people. You see, I want it to be that, Lord, that when I go into an area and people know me, and when I leave and depart, however that happens, whether I just move on or, Lord, you take me to be with you, I want people to be able to say, what a blessing. I don't want people to go, he's gone. What a blessing. And all God's people said, amen. Yeah, that's what we want, guys. We want that association with the Lord. Now, we have just a moment here. You want me to tell you all about the three biggest giants in your lives? We all have these three giants. We got just a moment to cover these things. Look at chapter 15, verse 14. We have it here on the screen, I believe. Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there. Shishai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Now, Anak, the word for Anak, what that word means, that man's name means neck or head of the family. In other words, the source. The source. See, all of our problems, all of our giants in our lives have a source of a problem. What is that source of the problem? Well, it says he drove out the sons of Anak, Shishai, Ahiman, and Talmai. Shishai means, you ready for this? Get ready to write this down. Who I am. The source of the problem is who I am. Ahiman means what I am. And Talmai means what I can do. Isn't that interesting? In other words, think about this for a moment. The source of our problems, the three biggest hurdles that we will ever face today, or where you sit and live by, are these right here. Who I am, what I am, and what I can do. That's the source of our problems. Now, I see some puzzled looks on your face. What does this mean? Well, first, the giant of ego. What I am. The giant of your ego, what I am. The giant of pride, what I am. And the giant of self-reliance, what I can do. See, we need to flip those. Who I am is fine, as long as the who I am is a child of the living God. What I am is fine, as long as the what I am is an instrument of God's will. What I can do is fine, as long as I remember that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. That there is nothing I cannot do through the Lord my God. That there is nothing I cannot do through the Lord my God. That there is nothing I cannot do through the Lord my God. You see, I love that. I love that I am who I am, a child of the risen Savior. I love that I am what I am. A child of the living, risen Savior. I love that I can do what I can do as a child of the risen Savior. All we really need to come to do to conquer those problems is say this: God, I cannot, but You can. And Lord, You promise. And You are not man that You would lie. Friends, may I ask you today, are you tired of fighting your own battles? Why don't you call upon the name of the Lord? Why don't you call upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Everybody wants to go to heaven. I know that. Nobody wants to go today. But to get to heaven, there's only one way. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Why is that? It's because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel means good news. The gospel is found in straightforward format in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, where it reads, and in the fullness of time, God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to earth. In other words, Christ came in human form. That Christ came, He was born of a woman. He lived as a human, but He lived a perfect, sinless life. And when the time came, Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary to die for my sins. Now see, this is where preachers like to say to die for your sins. Sometimes we forget He died for my sins. I'm a sinner. I'm a huge sinner. And Christ died on the cross for my sins. And the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, that He was placed in the grave and He stayed there 3 days. Oh, church, but on the third day He rose again to the glory of God the Father. And therefore, if I believe on Him, if I believe and receive Him in my heart, I shall be saved. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How can you trust that? With everything that goes on in this world today, how can you trust that? In Acts chapter 16, verse 39, we read these amazing, wonderful, marvelous words. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Friends, simply come to Jesus Christ. Turn it over to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God. And you will be saved. I end this message as I began it, saying grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you. And we hope to see you in service soon. You are God. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy.